A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord. Today's readings are about prayer, especially petitionary prayer, both in the reading from Esther and from Matthew. In the past several days, other preachers have discussed where we might go to pray, the kinds of space or environment we may have created for prayer, and how we might sound to God while we are praying. Lent is a great time to hone our prayer life and those regular practices we may have fallen away from. Even if we don't have it right or have things figured out, if our intention is there, if we stay connected to God on a regular basis and allow time to listen in the silence of prayer, grace will happen. Suddenly our eyes are opened. There are no coincidences anymore. In the first reading, Esther leaves the outcome to God and acknowledges that without his help, there is nothing she can do. She was a smart woman. Isn't that what prayer is all about? Admitting that we cannot do things alone, without God's help. This can be difficult in a society where a common motto is to make things happen. This is not how grace works. However, we can make time for prayer, time for letting go, and time to surrender. Lent is a time for us to slow down and get stuff, mostly ourselves and other distractions in our lives, out of the way of what God desires for us. It is amazing the things that we let ourselves hang on to, things that we think are what God wants, but in actuality get in the way of our becoming closer to God. When we hear Jesus' words, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you," do we think that he will give us everything we want? God wants me to unconditionally love my child, but this does not mean that I will give my child everything that he wants. When a child is younger, that love requires that he should be disciplined, and as he grows older, he is given guidance to help him find his way in the world. Sometimes a parent's answers are not what the child wants to hear, but later might be seen as having some wisdom. We try to help our children understand the difference between what they need, between what they want and what they need. The purpose of prayer is to become more deeply aware of what our real needs are, to allow God in, to become transformed. God knows what we need. When we pray, "Not my will, but yours be done," this is the deepest prayer of petition. We put our trust in God and are asking him to give us the things that are best for us, the things that will bring us closer to him and help us to interact with truthfulness and love with those around us. It helps us to get those false selves out of the way. We are in a drought here in the southeastern United States. Not a day goes by when we do not hear something about the water shortage, our dwindling water supply in the lakes in our region, new legislation being drafted to restrict the use of water in our communities, or tips on measures to conserve water in our homes and in our workplaces. As we entered into Lent this past week, the words of Psalm 63 have been on my lips. My soul thirsts like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. And also the words to a sung version of that psalm. My soul is thirsting. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. I have been grieving a recent loss, a loss that became so intense last week that I was in a pit of despair. Here was my mistake. For some time now, I've been attempting to climb out of this abyss of sorrow on my own. I felt that I knew how to do this. I've experienced loss before. I could process this grief possibly in a quicker fashion and move on, I thought. I had the faith to understand that God is at my side, that He walks beside me. At least I kept saying those words to myself and others. But something was missing. Then Lent began, and I started to incorporate regular time for reflection, prayerful walks, and sacred reading. One afternoon while walking on my lunch hour and reflecting on not just my sorrow, but that of others, I began to think about all those who grieve, who suffer loss, who sit at the bedsides of the sick and dying, people dying alone, children who are abandoned. I could go on and on. And I became very close to these people in prayer. And as I thought about these circumstances, I felt this incredible awareness of being swallowed in sorrow. This experience felt as though I were seeing all of the sadness of our world through God's eyes, but somehow I was made aware that this was but a fraction of what God sees. Suddenly I found myself surrendering, giving in to these intense feelings, and finally saying, "Okay, God, if this is what I need, I can accept this, but I can't carry this burden alone. Not without your help." There it was, that four-letter word that is so hard for me to say, help. The reason that I share this story is not that I'm claiming to be a mystic, but I do believe that God helps us to understand through prayer what barriers need to be removed in order for us to become closer to Him, and which help to enable us to interact with others in truth and love. It's difficult for me to put into words what exactly happened that afternoon, but I know that it was a turning point. The load that I had been carrying was lessened, and grace seemed to start occurring everywhere. I had felt so alone in my grief, and suddenly the phone rang. Things were in my mailbox. There was a gift of a book. There were thoughtful notes that arrived. And when the book arrived, it specifically said, read certain chapters. And within those pages and within those phone calls were words of comfort and solace that my soul thirsted for. We can take great comfort in these scriptures. They tell us that God always answers our prayers. However, He will answer them His way, out of perfect wisdom and perfect love. The Great Father will not refuse our needs. We're invited to be persistent in prayer, and through that persistence, God will reveal our needs to us. Jesus was brought up to love prayer, and through prayer, His Father revealed what would be required of Him and how He was to interact in truth and love with those around Him.